a Bible tonight, you find our text in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again tonight. And those that are visiting with us. And certainly thank the Lord for the good home folk here tonight. The good singing. We started here Sunday morning. I told you, preaching on a subject that I don't know nothing about. And you asked me why I would do that, and I figure you don't either. I think we've clicked off three so far. I think you would agree with me at this point. I don't know jack about that subject of humility. And I have realized that it's the only thing about me that God's ever been drawn to is humility. I have never done anything that would turn God's head. But I've done plenty to turn his stomach. And he says he's the high and lofty one. Says he dwells in eternity. And Isaiah said he only dwells with those that have a humble, contrite heart. And it's the only thing that'll draw God to America. Don't you think waving the red, white, and blue and putting your hand over your heart when they sing the national anthem will bring God around? It may drive him away quicker than anything. I'm telling you tonight, he says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. He said he'd hear from heaven, heal the land. Of course, we've told you every service, humility is extremely hard to define. And so we have to go to the scriptures and see where it's mentioned. And or it's illustrated. And find out what they're doing in that particular text. And so we've been preaching on living little in a big world. The world wants us to have big is better. God says little is better. World says more, get all you can get. God says give away all you got. And we looked at it in 1 Peter. Paul mentioned the subject of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We found there that living little in a big world will demand casting. The only way that you'll cast all your care upon the Lord is you'll have to get low. Realize God never ordains you to carry nothing. He wants it all upon him. Then we looked in Philippians where our Lord humbled himself, and we found that living little in a big world will demand obeying. Our Lord went as low as you can go. He became a man. He became a servant. He became a minister. He went to death. He went to the cross, and he went all the way to hell. You say, well, what did he get out of the trip? He said the Father took him and set him on the rim of infinity. He went as low as he could get, now he's as high as you can get. I tell you, if you want to go up, you're going to have to get down. If you want to go high, you got to get low. It demands obeying. And then we looked last night at our Lord washing the disciples' feet. Living little in a big world demands serving. We define that word serving as an overwhelming willingness to do that which is beneath you, beneath you. Tonight I'd like to look at when our Lord mentions the subject, Matthew chapter number 25 tonight. And I want us to see tonight that living little in a big world will demand resting. Resting. I told you there was two things that our Lord never did. He did a lot while he was here on the earth. But there's two things he's never, ever done. And he won't start tonight. One of them is get in a hurry. And the other one is worry. He never gets in a hurry. And he's asking you and I tonight to come. Join me. And not hurrying. And not worrying. Resting. The text says in chapter 11 and verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Matthew 11:25, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, is that word, rest. Very interesting word. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me for rut-row. He's done brought up that humility deal again. He says, for I am meek and, oh my, sounds like a cuss word, lowly. We're not talking about a redneck from North Carolina or Georgia. We're talking about God Almighty. Lowly. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I've been pondering that word resting. I have come to the conclusion that humbling ourselves, demanding resting out of us, that resting tonight is entering in to the belief that God has already taken care of every battle and every situation that I'll face, has already taken care of. It is entering in tonight to believing that not only God has already taken care of it, but that God is taking care of every situation and every battle that we'll ever face. But it's not only entering into the fact that God already has, that God is, but that God will take care of every battle and every situation. And you can amen that all you want to, but you and I ain't living that. Are you listening to me tonight? Because in order to enter into that, you will have to have a strong belief in the fact that you believe that God made solutions before he did problems. All of your problems tonight, God made the solution to them before he made the problem. You say, preacher, how come I can't find a solution? Because you'll eat up with the problem. You say, can you prove that from the scriptures? What did he make first? Fish or water? He didn't make a fish and tell them to flop around on the ground till he got a chance to make some water. Which did he make first? trees or dirt. Surely he did not make the trees and told them to dangle their roots in the air until he got a chance to make some dirt. Hey, what did he make first, air or man? Well, he made air first. God always makes solutions. Hey, wonder what come first tonight, sin or a Savior? Surely you don't think that sin deal in the Garden of Eden caught him off guard. No, because John said when he saw him over there in Revelation, he said he looked like a lamb that had been slain before the foundation of the world. Long before he had a sin problem, he had done killed a lamb. I'm telling you tonight, if you're ever going to enter into rest tonight, you must humble yourself and believe that God has already taken care of all your battles, all your situations. He is and he will take care of them all. In this text tonight, God shares with us four pillars that you must rest upon tonight. You must have all four of these pillars. Just like most chairs have four legs, you'll have to have all four of these pillars or you will not rest. Notice pillar number one, if you have your Bible there tonight. There is the pillar of prayer. The pillar of prayer. In verse 25, this prayer tonight involves a prayer of praise. The Bible says in verse 25 that Jesus clears himself off a spot and erupts into thanksgiving. He says, I thank thee, oh Father. He's erupted into thanksgiving. I got to wondering, what in the world has made him so happy? He's erupted into thanksgiving. You got the Bible there? Look in chapter number 11 and verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Our Lord is sitting in a situation and people all around him are going to hell with their clothes on and he erupts into thanksgiving. Oh, I thank thee, Father. Pray tell, what in the world he's thanking God for? He's thanking God, he says in verse 25, that in the midst of all these people going to hell, that his Father is reaching in and revealing himself to some of them and stopping them from going to hell. And he says, I just want to give you glory that you're doing it. I love that, don't you? I'm talking about a prayer of praise. But I see in the text, there is a prayer of preeminence. In the world, give God the right
to be over salvation. The world does he think he is, deciding who's going to hell? And just who does he think he is? Our Lord's little praise here tells us who he thinks he is. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He says, my Father is running everything up there, and he's running everything down here. He says he's in charge of it all. He says he is the great revealer. He says he's the creator. I'm telling you tonight, he made me, he bought me, he owns me. He can do with me whatever he wants. I tell you tonight, you ever get a hold of that, you'll rest. You'll rest. It is a prayer of praise. It is a prayer of preeminence. Don't miss this. It is a prayer of perception. Verse 27 of this text, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this about this verse. He says, enjoy what you can't explain or understand. That's what he said about this verse. Enjoy what you can't understand and what you can't explain. He says in verse 27, all things. That's pretty collective of everything. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. He says nobody knows the Son but his daddy. It's the only one that knows him. He says, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. He, to whomsoever the Son will, is extremely interested in that word. The little word means to take the cover off of that which has previously been hidden. I'm telling you tonight, if you have truly been saved, it was not because of some decision you made or some prayer you prayed or some pool you got ducked in. Jesus said, the only reason you know me is because my Father took the cover off and let you see it. Don't miss this. If he don't ever take the cover off, you won't ever see it. I remember the morning in 1968. I had just gotten out of jail and I had joined the army. That's what the judge told me to do. He let me go free. And I went to church that Sunday morning to please my mom and dad. It's the only reason I went. And she looked back there and smiled at me, and I smiled at her. And I was going to take me a long winter's nap on the back row. The preacher, I called him the other day. He just has retired from that church. He started that church a few weeks after I got saved. I called him and I told him, I still got it, preacher. I was sitting on the back row. He's preaching on a woman at the well. I'm introverted, been in the 10th grade on 3 different occasions, took 0 on all oral book reports. I love people, I just don't know if I like them yet or not. I'm sitting on that back row, and before he gets done preaching, I come running down the aisle hollering, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved. Now, if somebody would have told me before church started I was going to do that, I'd be, you crazy, I ain't going to do that. They took me in the back, 2 men. They took me down to Romans Road, the German Road, and the French Road. And for one solid hour, they tried to get me to pray the sinner's prayer. I ain't never prayed the sinner's prayer. Please forgive me, I ain't never prayed it.
I couldn't quit crying long enough to pray. Every time they just about thought they had me ready, I'd have cried from my shirt sopping wet. Every time they thought they just about had me ready, here I go again. I couldn't talk. I couldn't quit. So after an hour, they prayed it themselves and let me go. I found out later that it's too late for me when they took me in the back room. Back down that back row when I stood up, he had took a cover off and I saw it. Salvation is not a decision. Salvation's a revelation. And if you've been revealed by him, you'll rest in it. You won't be wondering if you were on this knee or that knee or what you said or how you said it. It's because God did it. Prayer of perception. That's one of the pillars. I'm wondering tonight, is that pillar secure? If it is not, you shall never rest. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. There will be a lot of people that go to heaven that had never enjoyed heaven down here. Never enjoyed heaven down here. Second pillar, the pillar of position. The pillar of position. I notice in this text, there is the hiding of this position. He says he hides this position from some folks. Well, who does he hide it from, preacher? He says in verse 25, because thou hast hid this thing from the wise. Any of you young people here tonight, an above average student? Yes, preacher, I make straight A's. Are you saved tonight? If you're saved tonight, you ought to shout. Because God said, I didn't let many like that see it. Are you listening to me? He said, it's not many wise. He says, there's not many prudent. I was interested in that little word. The little word wise, it's the little word well-lettered. The little word prudent is one who is very versed in earthly knowledge. Some of you say, well, I didn't do good in school, but I got a lot of common sense. Sure enough, if you're saved tonight, you got a lot of common sense, you ought to shout too. God said, I didn't pick many of you either. Wow. Says he hides it. I was so wondering, I wanted to go further upon this subject, not only the hiding of the position, but the revealing of the position. Just who in the world does he reveal it to? Just for a second, it won't take long to do it. If you got your Bible there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul says in verse 26, he says, for you see, you call him, brethren, that not many wise men. I'm telling you tonight, if you're above average, I tell you, preacher, I've got a very high IQ, very intellectual. I make straight A's in school. I am a member of the beta club. I'm telling you, honey, if you saved tonight, you ought to shout. Because he said, I did not pick many of you. I just picked a few. I love that, don't you? The old Countess of Huntington, she was a strong believer in God. And she said she got in on the fact that God used an M in this text. She said he didn't say he didn't choose none or any, but he didn't choose many. She said, I got in on the many. I love that, don't you? And he says here, he says he didn't choose many mighty. Hey, Some of you pretty strong. Oh my, I could run forever, preacher. You saved? You ought to be shouting tonight. God said, I ain't picked many of you. He said, did pick many noble. I love what Queen Victoria, she is three queens back from the one that's there now. She was reigning when Handel wrote his Messiah. And when they got to the Hallelujah chorus, they stood, the crowd did, and they began to praise God. And they said, oh, Victoria was sitting in her seat as the Hallelujah chorus, and they said they noticed that her little lips began to tremble and tears began to come down her, and before she noticed, she was standing on her feet and had dipped the crown to the horror of the crowd. Somebody asked her after it was over, and she told them, she said, I wish Jesus would come while I am the Queen of England, that I might bow at his feet, take this crown off my head, and lay it at his feet.
Amen.
They said, Queen Victoria, are you a believer? She said, yes, I am. They said, how'd you get in? She said, I got in on not many noble have been called. Are you listening to me tonight? You say, preacher, how'd you get in? I got in verse 28. He says, in the base things of the world, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are, here's where I got in, not. You're looking at a thoroughbred, 100% not tonight. That's how I got in. Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? I love that, don't you? Hid it from the wise and the prudent. But he says back in our text in verse 25, he says he has revealed them unto babes. What's a baby? Baby is someone who can't do nothing for themselves, can't help themselves, can't feed themselves, can't take care of themselves. That's the only people God saves is helpless people. I hear silly Baptists from time to time say, God helps those that help themselves. That ain't even in the Bible. The only people God helps is those who can't help themselves. I can extremely identify tonight with the babe in Ezekiel 16. He told me, he said, Tom, he said, one day I come by, and he says, I saw you a laying out there in a field. He said, you were a baby. He said, you still had the lather from your mama's womb on you. Said the umbilical cord was still attached to you, and it hadn't been tied. And he said, you was a sucking air and a dying when I saw you. And he said, I looked over there at you, and I said, live! And you did live. You think a babe ever have anything like that happen to them? They'd stick their thumbs in their lapel and talk about some decision they made or some profession they made. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, no. I'm talking about not only the pillar of prayer, but the pillar of position. Do you have that position that God, for some unknown reason, as Spurgeon said, you can't explain it, you can't understand it, but you realize one day that you were in the dark, and all of a sudden, you were in the light.
One day you were dead, and all of a sudden you were alive. One day you were lost, and all of a sudden you were found. Pillar of position. Third pillar. If we got four, we done two, got two left. Pillar of promise. I notice in the text, if you've got it there, there is the promise of request.
If. That's a big if, because I don't know about you. Can't see your heart.
But if God has ever taken the cover off and revealed himself to you, this promise is to you. Watch it. There is a promise of request. He says in verse 28, come unto me. That is not a request of salvation. It is an interjected word. It is a word that is interjected into a situation quickly. If you have a child and they're out, maybe they got close to the street and you see that they're in danger, a lot of times you won't run to them. You'll holler and say, come now, here. Hey. That's the phrase. He said, you that the devil and the world is taking your rest from you. He says, here, now. Here, now. I love that, don't you? Come unto me. It is an imperative command. Not only does he say to come here, now, but if the word has the idea, he gives you the ability to obey the command because he has revealed himself to you. He's taking the cover off. There is a promise of request. What I see in our text, there is a promise of rest. To whom is this command given? Our Lord says, he gives it to all that labor. It's an interesting word. It means to be exhausted by life. Life has taken the life out of you. I tell you, preacher, it's all I can do to get here tonight. I tell you, life's just wearing me out. Our Lord saying, hey, here. Now. He says, I ain't never got in a hurry. I ain't never got worried. I ain't never let the world get me out of my rest. Here now. Those that labor. He says, those that not only labor but are heavy laden, overburdened with unrequested, unwanted troubles. Hey, ain't none of you bought into the silly preaching that God won't put no more on you and you can bear, have you? If you have, I don't want to be ugly to you, but you stupid. You won't have to go far in this world. You find that that preacher told you a bill of goods. Number one, it ain't in the scripture. Paul's talking about temptation when he says he'll not put no more on you can bear. That's a solicitation to do evil. But over in Corinthians, Paul talking about trouble, he said, God put so much on me, it pressed me down beyond measure. He said, I was lower than snail snot. He says, I even considered getting out of this world that I didn't want to live anymore. He said, I had more on me than I can bear. If you're here tonight, pray for me, preacher. I tell you, I just got more men I can take. I don't know. Preacher, I've even looked at the gun cabinet here lately. I don't think I can take no more. Our Lord is saying, here, now. Here, now. Come unto me, all you that labor. I love this little text he says in verse 28. For those that'll come. He says, I will give you rest.
I was interested in a little phrase, I will. That is a phrase of legality for someone who has made out a last will and testament. Our Lord said, for those that I reveal myself, he says, I left it in my will that you can rest. He says, you can enter into the fact that I made solutions before I did problems. He says, you can enter into the fact that I have already, I am at this point, and I will take care of every battle and every situation you'll ever face. He says, you can enter into that rest. He says, I will it to you. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But in order for a will to be enacted, the person that made the will has got to kick the bucket. They got to die. He did. But you know, just because you write out your little old will, what you want to do with your junk, don't mean they going to do that when you die. Unless you got a power of attorney. He going to make sure the will has carried out. Just like it. So Jesus wrote the will. He said, I'm going to will you rest. He died and enacted the will right there. But he wanted to make sure that the will. So he raised himself from the dead, and now he's power of attorney. And the power of attorney, the guy that wrote the will, he said, hey, get name.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Will you listen to me tonight?
Glory to
you.
How is that pillow? You know, a three-legged chair is a dangerous chair.
Yes, sir.
You ever sit down a three-legged chair? I tell you, it'll humiliate you quicker than anything you want to be humiliated at. Huh? You got to have four legs if you're going to rest. Pillar of promise, pillar of position, pillar of prayer. This is where I fear that many of you will leave this building tonight with a three-legged chair. Because you ain't going to get this other pillar straight. Very difficult pillar to get straight. And I know some of you, I got that one straight too. I hope I can knock it out from underneath of us before we leave. I call it the pillar of practice. The pillar of practice. Verse 29. The practice of learning. Ruh-roh. That's a bad word. That means I'm going to have to read something or study something. So many today, bless God, we are King James people around here. I am on a crusade to get you to quit standing on the King James Bible. That sucked the air at the room, didn't it? Because if you're standing on it, it's extremely hard for you to open it.
That's all right. Yeah.
Why don't you get off from it and open it?
Yeah.
The devil has never concerned himself with the fact you're standing on it. But if you open it, he gets a little edgy. My little 4'9" daughter-in-law, she got a husband. They live way off the street. He's gone a lot. She got him to give her a pump-action shotgun for Christmas. That's what she wanted. He said, what do you want it for? She said, if they break in the house, she said, I want them to hear it when I cock it. See, the devil has never been disturbed that you standing on this book. But if you ever cock it, he gets edgy. Talking about practice. There is a practice learning. He says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. You remember the analogy that the Bible often uses. And these boys here look like they're extremely intelligent. So I'm going to ask them. Do y'all remember the analogy in the scriptures that he compares the Bible to milk and meat? Milk and meat. Do y'all know the difference in milk and meat? I was in a church a few weeks ago and I asked that question. Very intellectual boy. He said one of them's a liquid and the other one's a solid. Very intellectual answer. Wrong answer though. Here it is. It's so deep. You probably want to write this down. One of them comes from a cow and the other one is the cow. Extremely deep. But here's the funny thing. 99% of most of what you and most Baptists know about God, they got it from somebody else. They got it from some preacher. I don't care what Pastor Scott preaches to you. It can be the deepest truth ever, but once he takes it in, shakes it up, homogenizes it, and gives it to you, it is nothing but milk. Listen. The only way you can get meat is open this book and cut yourself off some steak and feed yourself. Learn of me. Of course, you know why you don't get in the Bible, don't you? I know you've made all kinds of, well, I tell you, I'm so busy. I tell you, the kids take up bed all my day. You appreciate you, that's all you got time to do is get in the Bible. Ain't got nothing to do with it. The reason why you and I don't get in the Bible, James said this book's a mirror. Mirror. James said some people come and look in the mirror and go their way. He says others come and continue in the law of God in this mirror. And he says they're blessed in all their deeds. Mirror. Do you know I've never looked in this book and it told me I was looking good? Never. I've never looked in this book and said, you ought to take a couple of weeks off. Man, you're looking good spiritually. Man, just take some time off. No. Time I come and look in this book. This book tells me I'm worthless. I need help. I need help. I probably told you this. If you hadn't, you probably heard it on CD. Some time ago, I was at the Ashboro Mall walking. She was in one of the sewing shops. There's an old boy in there walking. And I know how big I am. I know what size I am. And I'd say he was a 5X. He was walking. And he had on a small t-shirt. It's extremely dangerous if you put a 5X in a small. He had on a pair of orange psychedelic short tennis shorts. Everything from here to here was out. And he's walking. She got to laughing at me when she come out of one of the stores I pointed out to. And I asked her this question. I said, you reckon he got any mirrors at his house? Ain't no way that morning before he left the house, he looked in no mirror and said, I am looking good this morning. Yeah, look at me. That, my friend, is why you don't want to get in this Bible every day. Because it is a mirror. You will learn of him. You'll find that he is meek and lowly. And that he demands that you and I get lower and lower. Practice of learning. I notice last of all, there's a practice of a lesson. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Great lesson here. Take my yoke upon you.
So many today, them and Jesus are buds. We've yoked up together with this wagon. Me and Jesus, we're going to pull it together. He's going to pull 50, and I'm going to pull 50, and together we're going to pull the load. One small problem. If you'll notice the word yoke, it is singular. He says, if you want to get in the harness and pull it, I'll watch you. But if you'll get out of the way, I'll pull the whole thing. What am I going to do? He says in the last verse, my yoke is easy, my burden light. Easy light. We get our word vacation, recreation from that word. He says, if you'll let me pull that load, he said, you can go on vacation. You can take it easy. You can enter into the fact that I am and will take care of every battle, every situation. You know, God's taught that since the beginning of time. I told you the last time I was here that Jesus created man on the sixth day of the week. Created him on Friday afternoon about quitting time. The first thing that he wanted him to do was a sabbatical rest. He closes out the Bible. John said when he saw him sitting on the throne, he had a golden girdle and he had it on his paps. A Middle Eastern man never pulled his girdle up on his paps unless he was done working. He was not going to do nothing else. John said, when I saw him, he said he was done. He wasn't doing nothing else. And even in the middle of the new world, after Noah's ark, he sent that raven out. You remember that raven didn't come back? You ever given any thought as to why that raven didn't come back? He found a banquet picnic outside of that ark. Can you imagine the millions of dead, swollen bodies that he had to choose from? Ain't no way he's getting back near no ark. He's got plenty of dirty things to light upon. But when he let that dove out of that dove ain't lighting on nothing dirty. But he come back to the ark. He only finds safety. He only rests upon those that are resting inside of the ark. I don't know about you. I want to live in the lowly Jesus. There's not a one like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not living little in a big world will demand out of you and I resting. How's the fourth pillar? Any of those pillars sort of rocky? This is awful deep. I don't know if I ought to tell you this or not. If you've got a rocky leg, don't sit down. It'll be extremely dangerous. Would you stand with us tonight? Father, I've done what you told me to do. Lord, can't speak for nobody else tonight. I remember the day you revealed yourself to me, took the cover off. Lord, I remember multiple times when you've told me to come here now. You wanted to give me rest. You wanted me to see, Lord, you had created the solution long before the problem. Lord, you wanted me to see that you're in the process, and you will take care of every battle, every situation.
Lord, you have ordained in my salvation that I would enter into an eternal sabbatical rest, not that is in the future, but it is now, that I can rest, that everything has been taken care of. I pray, Lord, that I would find rest tonight in the ark of God. Lay way back in you. Let you take care of all of life's situations. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I wonder if one of those legs tonight are wobbly. How about that getting in the word leg, learning of him? Is that one wobbly? If one of the legs on that chair is wobbly tonight, I wonder if you'd want to come tonight and root you out a place in this altar and ask God if he would shorn it up, make that leg strong, you might rest in him. Maybe tonight for the first time you realize that God has come and revealed himself to you. You realize you're lost. Run to him. Run to him. While our brother plays a little bit, the altar's open. Need to come? Seek the Lord. You've been learning of him. Been looking in the mirror.